Welcome to the Holy Church of God's Global Outreach Center. We pray that this gospel message will reach its mark into the hearts of the hearers, glorify God, lift up Jesus, and save the lost, that it will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable and fully furnish us with a heart for God.
About three indispensable characteristics of active faith. How many know that faith can be called a dead faith, or faith without works can be called dead? And the faith that has corresponding actions can be called an active faith. And it's only active faith that can bring real answers to our life. You can't get saved unless you believe on Jesus Christ. You can't just believe in God. The devils believe there's a God and they tremble. I love that word tremble in the book of James, because it tells us just how their faith in the reality of God, they know it. There's no shadow of doubting. Every one of them was in His presence at one time and fell from that presence. There is nothing created that He did not create, and Satan can't manufacture demonic forces and demonic powers. He has no creative ability whatsoever. You hear me? He's not a God in the big sense or little sense. He's a fallen angel that was created by God. And those that followed Him through His deception and rebelled in heaven, there was a war in heaven, and the dragon drew a third part of the stars from heaven. And we have demonic forces that are in the heavenlies. We don't argue against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness and high places and the rulers of the darkness of this world. Amen? So we need spiritual armor, because we can't just be biblically astute and win these battles. We need actual spiritual armament to win spiritual battles. And one piece of that armor is called the shield of faith. And I'm not going to lift it above any other piece, although the Scripture does in the King James say, above all, taking the shield of faith. We have kind of taken that out of context and putting faith above righteousness. And let me just say this to you this morning. If you don't have the breastplate of righteousness, you're going to have a real problem using the shield of faith. Can you say amen? If you don't have the helmet of salvation, if you don't have your loins girt about with truth, faith doesn't stand alone or apart from righteousness. It doesn't stand alone or apart from truth. In fact, in the course of the Greek, it actually says in Ephesians 6, and in addition to all, take the shield of faith. Amen. In addition to these other parts, take the shield of faith. We've kind of said above all and put the preeminence on faith instead of the relationship that brings righteousness. And they have to go in tandem. They can't work apart from one another. Faith does not stand alone in Scripture. Amen. You have not because you ask not. There's the faith issue. You don't make God your source, but you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss to consume it on yourself. Or in the actual Greek, it says on your own selfish lust. So the attitude in prayer, not just believing God, but yielding to God and surrendering to His will and getting rid of our will. Someone said it so well, we can never pray thy kingdom come until we first pray my kingdom go. How many know we all have a will, and sometimes we believe it's the Lord's will, but how many know when you pray and there's a locked door, you find out maybe it really wasn't the Lord's will, and maybe it isn't even a lack of faith. Maybe it could be that God has a purpose that we haven't yielded to or we haven't discovered yet. Can you say amen? Paul got ready to go to Asia to preach with a call and anointing and a mandate from God, and the Holy Ghost forbid him. Isn't that incredible? Paul was a prayerful man. He didn't make impulsive, emotional decisions. He must have really prayed about it, but he found out it's not God to go there. Amen. So he essayed to go to Bithynia, and the Holy Ghost suffered him not. God blocked him again. So he just said, okay, I'm going to surrender my will. I'm going to surrender any preconceived idea. Even after prayer, I'm just going to wait in the presence of God until He shows me what His will is. And he saw in a vision a Macedonian man saying, come over and help us. And every time I tell that story, when I had a career with Tampa Electric, I had 5 years with that company. I had a little more time than Terry. How many years does he have? 30-something. I would have had over 30-something with a good company and been looking toward retirement. But I'll just have to refire, because I can't retire. Can you say amen? So why, when I went to the Holy Church of God, there's just a handful of people, and I really didn't want a pastor. I wanted to hit them and run. because I knew some pastors have been through some heavy things. You don't understand this pastoring business of hit them and run. But evangelists can preach anything and then get in the car and leave. Whatever I preach, I have to face people the next Sunday. And you say, amen, they come back. Hallelujah. Amen. So I didn't have a heart at that time to be a pastor. I just thought, I'm going to preach the word, and I'm going to go home. You know, I'm going to give it to God, and I'm going to forget it. I'm going to just go preach in these churches, and God wanted me to pastor. So I kind of put a fleece out. He doesn't let me use them very often, but in my early ministry, he allowed me to use a fleece. And I said, Lord, if you want me to preach, take this pastorate here. Let something in the sermon tonight or in the service tonight, something come forth about the Macedonian man. Because I don't know your perfect will, but I want to surrender to it. I don't believe this is your will, but if it is, I don't want to miss it. So let something be said about the Macedonian man. The pastor preached, the choir sang, the specials, everything. The testimonies came forth. Not one word about the Macedonian man. Amen. That I just mentioned in the book of Acts that Paul, that God showed Paul where he was supposed to go. It said, come over and help us. Amen. And down at the end of the service, the song leader, Sister Kathy, she got up and said, before we leave, God has put a song on my heart that I believe we ought to sing before we go. And I thought I was off the hook. God didn't speak to me. I'm off the hook. Amen. I put out the fleece. Nothing happened. I don't have to accept this pastorate. I can just be the hit and run evangelist. Amen. And and that. But I really wanted the will of God. You got to watch those loaded prayers. Not my will, but thine is a legitimate prayer. It's not a lack of faith. It takes more faith to pray not my will than it does to pray your will be done. You didn't hear me. Takes a whole lot more surrender and devotion to say, not my will, but yours be done, and then trust him with it. Can you say amen? Any faith that's trying to manipulate God to get what we want because we believe that he wills what we want all the time. Amen? I mean, you know why we're laughing? Because that doctrine absolutely is laughable. His ways are, I know we got a Bible. I know the Holy Spirit is here. But we still have to trust God. We never become so biblically literate and so familiar with the Holy Spirit that we never have to just trust God and not lean to our understanding. We never come to a place that we don't need to surrender. It's still a legitimate prayer. It's not a lack of faith to say, if it be thy will. It's not a lack of faith to say, not my will but thine be done. It's not a lack of faith to say, I'm just going to sit here until you speak to me, Lord, because I want your will above my way. It's not a lack of faith to say the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That takes great faith to say that. And Job wasn't operating in fear either. God called him a perfect man. I don't care what the other teachers are calling him. I think God ought to be the one, amen, that we should listen to. He didn't need that tape series, believe me. We need the stamina he had. We need the trust he had. Can you say amen? Amen. Come on, church. This is the Bible. God said, have you considered Job? His trouble wasn't because of his unbelief. It was because of how faithful he was. Wow. Don't worry. Most of you won't have to worry about that. God probably won't use you as the supreme example on planet Earth. Can you say amen? Maybe you won't be used like he used Job. Amen. I can't imagine him looking down at me and saying, have you considered my servant, Bobby? They're all flaky but him. Can you say, that's okay, I'm flaky too, Lord. I need grace and I need help this morning. I just hate to hear what God says is great being put down. Can you say amen? Someone comes in humble dependency, Christ calls it great faith. Someone doesn't come in a bold, strident manner. We should come boldly before the throne of what? Grace. And we should be so humble to be invited into that presence that the first thing we do is bow before him. Can you say, man? Not make demands, but bow before him. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed. See, that bowed state brings you into that place that God can move. Hallowed be thy name. And then his will comes into play. Thy kingdom come. You know what a kingdom is? It's not some mystical spiritual thing. Only it is the rule and domain of a king. It is that area where a king has full and absolute dominion. And the first place the kingdom comes is in us, in our heart. Thy will be done. Where? In earth. And it starts with me as it is in heaven. Can you say, man, whatever you will from heaven, let it be done in me. And let it be done in this world, praise God. Hallelujah. What you bind on earth, I've bound in heaven. It starts in heaven. It doesn't start with me and my vision. It doesn't start with me and my ideas. It doesn't start with me and my faith. It starts with God. It originates with God and His eternal purpose. Can you say amen? Everybody say, faith permits the predetermined will of God to be done. That sounds so good, I wish I could tell you I was quoting someone else, but that actually came from your pastor. But fearing pride, I will not take credit for it. I just will let it just hang out there. Praise God. Amen. I've had to learn that. And that goes against so many modern day teachings. I feel a little prehistoric this morning. I want to go back to the book. I want to go back to the apostles and the prophets with Christ Himself. I've learned more from Jesus and the apostles than I ever learned from all the preachers put together and all the tape sets you can get on anything. Amen. Everybody in this room that's serious about God and His will and His purpose for your life and His ways need to go to the book, the only book that can tell you what it's truly about. And you won't find it on the shelf of great Christian writers. Amen. The greatest book of all, the greatest book that you'll ever read, the greatest book, amen, of all truth is the Bible itself. Amen. And I believe we're too familiar with what other people have written and not what God has said in His Word. And if the church will get back to the Word of God, she will look out of date. She will look out of step. But I'm telling you something. The church is never supposed to be updated and upgraded for the 21st century. She's supposed to be built on a solid, sound, stable foundation of God's Word. Hallelujah. And the way up with God is still down. And not my will but thine is an appropriate prayer for serious Christians who love and honor their God. Hallelujah. Amen. We should be bowing before Him, not striding in making demands on Him. We ask anything according to His will. This is the confidence. This is the reason for our boldness. In that bowed state, if we ask anything according to His will, in that place of full surrender, if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have what we've desired of Him. Can you say amen? But it starts with bowing. It doesn't start with believing. It starts with bowing. We got people being taught to believe that haven't been taught to bow. I love how they bowed to God in the Old Covenant context in the Old Testament. Their body showed what God was requiring from their heart. Every time they bowed to the Lord, they bowed with their faces to the ground. Now, at the risk of not being able to get up, I'm going to try to demonstrate this. So if I need help, my strong younger brother. I heard Joyce Meyer say the other day that she got down to pray, and the reason she bought exercise equipment and got into a routine and prayed God for discipline, she said, I got down to pray this great crusade, and I stayed down there a long time praying, you know, the prayerful time at the end, and I suddenly realized I cannot get up. There's nothing to hold on to, and I cannot get back up. And she asked her husband or someone, please come and help me up. And she's not that old. It's just the joints and stuff. Here's how they bowed. If you want to know how they bowed, all you've got to do is look at the people who really follow Islam and the way they bow to their concept of God. Here's how they bow. And I'm not talking about physical this morning, that we should follow that physical pattern. I'm talking about what should be in every heart of every true believer. It begins with bowing, not just believing. And we're teaching people to believe that we haven't even taught to bow, and you don't even make a petition until you hallow His name. Can you say amen? Our Father who art in heaven, what? Hallow. Everybody say worship. We need that lofty view of God back that's in Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw in the book of Isaiah, amen, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, he went into the temple, and this is what he said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Can you say amen? I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Everybody say, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of it all, the foundation for it all. The fear of the Lord. And that word fear is not the dread of God, particularly for covenant people. It's not the dread of God. In the actual Hebrew, it means to deep reverence with awe and affection. You love Him, you embrace Him, but He is God. He doesn't cease to be God. It got so casual in our approach to God during the Jesus movement of the 80s. There was a song that came out that said, He may be your father, but He's not your old man. Can you say amen? There's a reverence. God appears on a burning bush. A man has to do some act of reverence to reverence that presence. I believe the fire would have left that bush, or that man would have been in dire jeopardy had he not taken the shoes off his feet as an act of reverence for that presence. It is not a sideshow. I've been to evangelistic meetings where evangelists are preaching and there's almost a circus atmosphere among the people wanting to watch the miracles. And I've seen evangelists who love God stop the service. Amen. People were bringing in their cold drinks and their snacks, and it was like watching a circus, watching people fall out under the power of God and people be healed. And he said he stopped everything in one of those meetings, and I appreciate him for it because he saw the lack of reverence. Amen. If we don't teach the fear of the Lord, amen, we just teach faith and how to manipulate God into doing what we want. We never learn to bow. And if we never bow before Him, how can we ever pray according to His will? How can we ever find His will? I don't believe I'm greater than my Master. Jesus bowed to His Father's will. He said, if there's another way, let the cup pass, but nevertheless, not what I want. I acquiesce to You. I defer to You. I bow to You. Not what I will, but what You will be done. And then when you pray after that surrender, amen, in the will of God, you can have full confidence that He hears you. Not only that He hears you, He'll give you sufficient grace to do His will. I prayed things that I knew, I just knew was the will of God. Now I pray, Lord, I want Your will at the end of my prayer. And give me the grace and strength to accept it. Amen. Because it's hard to kick against the pricks. It's hard to try to use your faith to manipulate God into doing what you want when you want it. I wanted it yesterday. I'm the kind of guy that says, Lord, give me patience and hurry. Can you say, man, I want to develop in patience. And guess what develops patience? Well, I got this 8 tape set on it. Well, at the end of it, it's going to come down to one thing. Your trials and tests that God takes you through and asks you to trust Him through them is the only thing that develops patience in your life. Thank you. Tribulation. Tribulation worketh patience. Amen. Christ said, in this world, you're going to have a lot of things to develop your patience. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. It's a promise, isn't it? Can't use your faith to change the world so everybody embraces you and loves you. Everyone in this room is not going to become the CEO of a big company. Anybody realize that yet? Everyone is not called to that. Everyone's not going to become that. I wish I could tell you everyone was, but they're really not. Amen. Some people God is going to put as a CEO, and some people God is going to make something less. But He asks you to be faithful in what He calls you to. That's all He asks you to do. Amen. Amen. And to surrender to His will. So Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. And I saw the seraphim. The next thing that grabbed his eye was not just the glory of God in that room, but he saw the angels of the Lord that minister in the presence of God. And these angels were specially equipped angels. That's what's so glorious about the New Testament. The Bible speaks of a God who dwells in unapproachable light. And yet we have access to Him. Can you say, man, isn't that an incredible privilege? To be able to come to a God like this because of Jesus. And to be accepted in the Beloved so we can come into that awesome presence. But any way you cut it, that awesome presence is not diminished because of the new covenant. When we pray, we're coming into the presence of that God. When we assemble and He says, there am I, it's this God we're talking about. Listen, Jesus glorified is manifesting that same glory. Paul didn't see a doe-eyed Jesus on a donkey when he was on his donkey. He saw a light brighter than the noonday sun. And John on Patmos didn't see the Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee, but the Jesus who was manifest as very God. His hair was as wool. His eyes were as fire. His feet as burnished brass. He had a robe down to the foot with a golden girdle. His hair white as wool and a voice that sounded like many waters like Niagara Falls. And he shook him. Can you say amen? Just like it shook Isaiah. Just like it ought to shake us. To come into His holy presence. He said, I saw angels in this presence in Isaiah chapter 6. And he said the seraphim had three sets of wings, and with twain they covered their faces. Isn't that something? Even in celestial bodies, their face, angelic faces, was not even to be uncovered in the presence of God. That incredible. And their feet, the only part that wasn't robed, their feet was also covered with two sets of wings, was just for a covering for the face. Two sets were just for a covering for the feet. Everybody say awesome presence. And with two, they did move about or fly. So three sets of wings, they were equipped to minister in the very presence. Not to go out from that presence, but to minister within that presence. And you know what the reaction of the man was? Woe is me. The man God had called, the man God had selected out of all the people on the earth to be one of the major prophets of the Messiah and a major prophet to Israel. God's personal selection. But how does he feel in that presence? He says, woe is me, for I am what? Well qualified, filled with faith, of sterling character, mightily gifted. He said, I'm undone. And he identified himself with Israel, not because he was a rebel or a sinner, but he certainly wasn't perfectly righteous either. And there's none righteous. Everybody say, no, not one. He trembled in that presence. Amen? And he fell on his face and said, woe is me, for I am undone. God loves people to honor His presence that way, because that fire that sanctifies, that fire that cleanses, always comes in an atmosphere of repentance. Repentance is a positive. It's a super plus in the Bible. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, Christ says. Be zealous, therefore. Have a heart for it. Embrace it. Repent. It's not an ancient, old, antiquated message. Hallelujah. If it will bring me into that presence for a fellowship relationship, and that I can bow before a God who accepts me in the beloved, there's nothing wrong with that old message of getting your heart clean and wanting to be pure before Him. Can you say amen? I know I'm a dinosaur preaching this morning. I know it doesn't fit the 21st century. It'll never fit the 21st. If we lived on this earth till the 30th century, the book would be the same. Christ would be the same. The Bible would be the same. And the standard would not be changed. Hallelujah. He's the Lord God of Israel, and He doesn't change. He doesn't change with the times or for the times. God doesn't want to be changed by theologians or church groups, amen, to fit our image. He wants to change us into His. Amen? The whole purpose of our life here, the only reason we're not in heaven right now, is a witness to this world, and that a progressive work is going on to conform us to the image of His Son. That's the predestined will of God for every person in this room. And boy, to get more like Him, I got to be a whole lot less like me. And I'll just give this little disclaimer right now. You're not looking at the finished product. But you are looking at a product in progress. I am under construction. So you're going to see a lot of dust and a lot of things. Like over here, it looks like a big old mess. But that big old mess is leading to something. And one day you'll see a finished product. God's not done with the church yet. Oh, by the way, God's not through with you yet either. Since you're here this morning, He must not be done with you. Because there's places you can go when He's done with you, and nobody will challenge you. But you're in a church today that you'll realize pretty quick, God's not through with me. Amen? He won't get through with you till Christ comes or you go home. Then He'll complete you, perfect you. But the rest of it is a work in progress. Amen? Because we're predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Well, this bowing in prayer before we even read the scripture here today about faith, we may not even get to that. We're warming up to it. Amen. But this bowing in prayer is so essential. So we take faith out of context, and we've got faith as a do-all, cure-all, get-all from God. And faith can become manipulative, saying, Lord, you know, we all know confession is vital. You believe in the heart, confess with the mouth, it's vital. But my confession, the actual Greek says where that scripture is, to say the same thing as. Amen? To say the same thing as God has said. Amen? In order for me to say what God has said, I have to know what God wills on that issue. And I wish I could tell you it was all in the book, that everything you'll ever need to know about the will of God for your life is right there in black and white in Scripture. It isn't. What's in Scripture is, in black and white, is that you're to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and quit leaning to your own understanding. Hello? Jesus said something about His relationship with the Father. He said, I know my Father always hears me. I know He does. There's no question about it. But there was something about Jesus more than faith going on between Him and the Father. He said, in the volume of the book, it is written, I came to do Thy will, O God. And whenever there was a conflict, there was always a deference as He reverenced His Father and bowed to His will, not what I will, but what You will be done. And the only place a Christian will ever come to that place of true devotion is in that place of true reverence, that lofty view of God. Amen. Where He's God and He's Almighty God. And we start our prayer by hallowing His name, by bowing with our faces to the ground spiritually. Amen. Muslims do it to Allah. Here's how they do it. They put down something to put their knees on. And this is how Israel bowed, by the way. This is how they bowed before this God. That was it. In this position, if my heart matches my posture, are you hearing me? If my heart matches my posture, I'm in a place where my will is not the prevalent thing anymore. His will is supreme in my life. And this is the confidence we have in Him. This is the origin of true, bold faith. If we ask anything from that place of bowed devotion and surrender, we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know that we have the petition that we've desired of Him. True faith, biblical faith, spiritual faith, the only faith in the Bible is found starting with a true reverence and surrender for and to the will of God. Can you say amen? It is not man developing a force by which he manipulates his life to make it convenient and to exalt himself. It's what exalts Jesus. The final analysis, Lord, be glorified in the answer. Can you say amen? Be glorified. Can God be glorified in the answer? We want to build a building here. But we don't want it to be a symbol of success for us as a people or me as a minister. We want a building here where we can worship God and where people can see we're not just a little home meeting. There's a church in this community where once again in the city of Tampa there will be an open door to whosoever will. Let him come and drink of the river of life freely. We honestly, actually want it for the glory of God. Because if God isn't glorified by it, we have no need for it. Amen? It's only a building. I saw the Lord high and lifted up in His train filled the temple. And I saw the seraphims with two wings. They covered their face, with two their feet, and with two they did fly. And I said, woe is me, for I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of an unclean people. And he heard the Lord speak as he's in that place bowing to him. And he said, who shall I send, and who shall go for us? And this man, feeling his own inadequacy, didn't say, here am I, I'll go. That would be self-confidence, but here am I, send me. Here am I, sanctify me, qualify me, empower me. But Lord, here I'm available to you. If you can use me, you'll have to do the qualifying. And God is good at that sanctifying and setting apart for holy purposes. Can you say amen? But he doesn't start with people that present themselves as holy, but people that bow and repent before him. Can you say amen? And he charged one of those seraphims that minister in his presence to take a live spiritual coal from the altar of his presence. And that angel took that coal and he walked over to the mouth of the man and pressed that coal upon his lips. I'm going to tell you something. Isaiah didn't qualify himself and step out, set apart for a holy purpose in deep repentance, in deep reverence for God. God anointed him and God called him out of that place and God sent him to the nation of Israel. We need to teach people to bow again and then believe. Not to believe, but never know how to bow. That's why there's so much disappointment when we confess it all, claim it all, stand on the word, but we have never bowed to the will. It all starts with bowing. And there's a release in it. I love the release. Commit thy works unto the Lord. Amen. Roll your works on him, it said. That means your whole life, everything concerning you. Give it to God. Don't try to figure it out or manipulate him into doing what you think it is. Just give it to God. God's will, when we get into it, is like a current in a stream. It will take you. There's so much confusion about the will of God in the Christian community. So much stress involved with it. We're seeking. Carl Strader, pretty dignified man, you know, built this mega church before mega churches were all around us. And one Sunday he was preaching. I wasn't there, but someone that was there said he would come out and you're beautiful. This is back in the early days of Carpenter's Home. He had a vested suit on, you know, when they had the vest with it, the three-piece suit. Looked like a businessman, and he'd come out and he's preaching with such dignity. And he's talking about bearing fruit in the presence of God and all the stress that's in God's people. Amen. That abiding in Christ and letting his word abide in you. The fruit comes forth as a natural result of that constancy in the Lord. He said, I live in Florida for the benefit of people looking by television or getting a tape. And he said, I live where I drive many times through orange groves in some of my travels, in Central Florida in particular. He said, I have never in fruit-bearing season for the citrus industry stopped my car at night in the middle of orange groves, turned off my motor, pulled off beside the road, and rolled down my windows and heard this sound from the trees. But he said, I hear it from Christians every Sunday. Amen. And I've been a pastor long enough to say, I hear Christians straining to believe, straining to love. I got to love him. I got to love her. I got to give. I got to forgive. I mean, it gets worse and worse. It's all a fruit of the Spirit. And it all begins when we surrender. It all begins when we... Everybody, hear this. Delight yourself in the Lord. Say it with me. Delight yourself in the Lord. And He'll give you the desires of your heart. Well, man, we want to get our boogie down on Sunday, don't we? We want to get in a hot praise service so we can delight in the Lord because I need an Escalade. You know what an Escalade is? Escalade, Cadillac, SUV. Lady back here said, oh, I can see that we're way from the Escalade crowd this morning. Praise. This is not a yuppie church. Probably don't know what a Beamer is either, I guess. It's nothing to do with Star Trek, amen? So what do we do? I used to go in, we lived near a Kmart when we were in Sulphur Springs, and my youngest son, Matthew, he loved to go to Kmart, and I'd run in to get some supply we needed or something, and he had his eye on one thing, and that's the toy aisle, you know, and we'd start down this big aisle, and the toy aisle, it would break off to the right, which I had no intention of spending time in the toy aisle with him, amen, but I had to take him with me, and so we're going down, and I've got him by the hand, and I feel this slight tug in that direction, just a slight tug. Amen. And then I hear these words. Oh, Daddy. Daddy, you're such a good daddy. Boy, he was good at it. Daddy, I'm glad I got you for my daddy. And all the while he's doing that, I'm feeling this tug toward that aisle. Because we're getting closer. And we're either going to pass it or we're going to go down that aisle. And if we pass it, I'm going to get what I want and get in line. But if he can get me down that aisle, we're going to spend time looking at action figures or something. Daddy, I love you so much. You're such a good daddy. And all the while I'm feeling that tug on my hand. And even though I know what's going on, I remember when I was that age, and even if I didn't get anything, I just like to go and look. My wife is entirely different. I can window shop all day long. Say, wow, look at that. She said, if I can't buy it, I don't want to look at it. Plain and simple. My wife does not window shop. So don't go nowhere with Pamela, you know, unless you go buy her something, because she don't want to look. If I can't look, I don't want to even dream or just... Anyway, that's Pamela, and a lot of times I would just defer. I'd go with him. Sometimes we'd get something. A lot of times we wouldn't because I didn't want to spoil him. But we would go down and look and say, "Whoa, look at that! Oh, you better save your allowance. Look at that car, that radio control. Oh man, that's neat." And spend a little time with him, and then we'd go back and get the stuff we came to get. But you know, I see Christians taking scripture like that. Delight yourself in the Lord. Oh Lord, I love you so much. Pulling towards something for me. And believe me, God loves you enough to give you something for you. He cares about you. He wants your needs to be met. But he really wants your heart first and foremost. If he can capture your heart, he can bless you in so many other ways. But if he never captures your heart, nothing you ever have will fully satisfy you. You'll always be after more, just like the world is. It's incredible how that works. The word delight in the Hebrew comes from a word that can be used also with clay. It means to be soft and pliable. Everybody say soft and pliable. That's a different kind of delight than just putting the soft touch on God, isn't it? That's a place in my life where I say, Lord, you've done so much for me. You're so good to me. You've given your son for me, and I love you with all of my heart. And you know what happens when you love with all of your heart? You get soft and you get pliable. Have you ever heard of a guy that, you know, been a macho guy, always running with the guys, and he finally meets this girl of his dreams, and she captures his heart? And what do the guys say? She's got him wrapped around her little finger. Amen, because he would rather be with her shopping for shoes than bowling with the guys. I know it's been a long time, sir, but he's laughing out loud, said, not me. Me neither. But it's been a long time, been married 42 years. I don't lie. I'll say, you shop for shoes, I'm going to Radio Shack or somewhere. Amen. Find me back in the electronics looking at the plasma TV and salivating. Amen. She's got him wrapped around her little finger. Love works that way. When you love the Lord, Jesus loved his Father. He said, my Father's always with me. This surrender wasn't because he feared God in the sense of the dread of God, but because he loved and reverenced his Father. In the volume of the book it's written, I came to do thy will, O God. My words are not mine and my works are not mine, but whatever I see the Father do, he has to okay it before I will even attempt to do anything or speak anything. Amen. That and the Bible said he gave him the Holy Spirit with what? Without measure. So let's don't try to teach faith based on what Jesus taught until we begin to teach faith based on the posture that Jesus had before his Father. It doesn't start with just believing. It starts with bowing. Everybody say, it all starts with bowing. Oh, but let me tell you this. If you delight yourself in the Lord and he gives you the desire of your heart, and the desire of your heart is his perfect will for your life and purpose, no matter where that takes you or what that may be, it'll be the most fulfilling life that you will ever live down here before you get to heaven. The greatest place you can live your life is knowing that you're in the perfect will of God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? It doesn't matter what anybody else says, what they think. They can say you're a success. They can say you're an abject failure. But you'll know that you're in the will of God, and that's all that matters. You're not living for other people or their opinions. You're living for him. Hallelujah. That's why he said, greet the saints that are in Caesar's house. They've been conscripted to go there and in servitude in Caesar's house, but they are saints. Hallelujah. And they're not substandard, and they do not need that tape set. Thank you. Can you say amen? And Job doesn't need to go to that seminary. Job was right with his God. That's what the issue was all about. And honey, if you can take what Job took and say, blessed be the name of the Lord, and stay bowed, honey, you got some faith. Come on. Come on. It takes faith to go through trials. Don't take no faith to sit in the penthouse. Go to church in the limousine and be ushered back to the penthouse. It takes faith to be out here in the trenches day in and day out. Takes faith to be a divorced mother trying to raise some kids, but get up in the morning, amen, not knowing where the next meal is going to come from, but say, blessed be the name of the Lord, and see God provide that meal. Can you say amen? There's where real faith is at work. Well, I'm going to preach just a little while before we leave. Hallelujah. If the church will ever bow again, amen, we'll start praying in the will of God again. And if we start praying in the will of God, we're going to see God move to perform His will. Not our wants, but His will. Can you say amen? We're going to see souls saved. We're going to see people set free and delivered. We're going to see people that are bound by sin, the bondage broken, because Jesus came with that kind of anointing to set the captive free. Hallelujah. We're going to see the glory come again. Hallelujah. Back to the church where people run to altars. Amen. With broken hearts, crying out for deliverance. You get real conviction, you're going to get changed lives again. Not just churchgoers, but people with changed lives. I work with churchgoers. And anybody hears this that I work with, you're one of the exceptions. There's always exceptions. But basically, I work with a lot of churchgoers. But that's the end of it. That's where it stops. Amen. That's where any identification with Jesus ceases, is the church on Sunday morning and some position in that church. But out in the real world with real people, there's no semblance of dedication to the Lord. Brother Venable, are you judging? No, I'm just a fruit inspector. Christ said, you'll know a tree by the fruit it bears. You will, I will. You don't have the sense. God gave a billy goat if you don't. You can put an orange sign on a grapefruit tree, but that don't make it bring forth oranges. Can you say amen? You can put a temple sign, temple orange sign on a kumquat tree, but you're not going to get a lot of juice out of it. So Jesus said, be what you really are. Make the tree good and its fruit good. We're trying to have a righteous tree with unrighteous fruit, and He said, that's not the truth. Or make the tree evil and its fruit evil. No, be what you are. Don't try to be what you're not. I'd rather you were hot or cold. Because if you are cold, there is something called repentance. There is something called restoration. There is something called regeneration. There is something called transformation in Scripture. God can change a life that's bowed before Him. Can you say amen? But that's the only life that He can change, is one that's bowed before Him. So I just hate to see faith taken out of context. So if I'm going to teach on faith and answered prayer, I'm going to start with bowing. Lord, teach us to pray. He said, acknowledge that you have access to God and you have a paternal relationship through Christ. Say, our Father. Not Father of the universe, Father of mankind, but a Father through salvation. You've come into the family of God. God calls you sons and daughters now. And you're able to say something, and all the privilege of approaching the God that dwells in unapproachable light, that dwells in this kind of holy presence. How many know God's holiness is not diminished in the New Testament? What's diminished is, in many churches, the honor for that holiness, the deep reverence with awe and affection. I love Him. He's my Father. In fact, He's my daddy. But He's not my old man. I reverence Him. I bow in prayer. I catch myself impulsively praying when the heat is on and not stopping to bow first. And I back up. Last night I was right after, you know, so much was going on. And I would tell on myself, but then I haven't even told Pamela on myself yet. But I get forgetful when the stress is on. Anybody get stressful and get forgetful? Forgetful who you are in Christ, Christ in you, to give thanks and all those things we know we ought to be doing, but just forget it? Well, you can back up. You can rewind. I got in the middle of a petitionary prayer that was so important, and I stopped and I put rewind. Isn't it good to be able to push rewind? And I backed up and I said, Lord, here I've rushed into your presence, into your throne room. Let us draw near, the scripture said. That phrase in the Greek means let us come face to face, not in close proximity, but face to face. I'm coming into the same presence, but I can't see it, but it doesn't change it. It's the same presence Isaiah came into in the temple. I need to be as bowed as he was as I pray. So I just pressed rewind. I said, Lord, I forgot to hallow your name in my hurry. So I'm going to come back and start it all over again. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed. Hallowed be your name. I got down on my hands and knees. And you don't have to do that, but it has to happen in your heart. I really believe that. And I bowed with my face to the carpet. And then I began to pray. And it's like the prayer began to just flow out of that. Because I believe that bowing first acknowledges you're not just here to be used. You're not just here to get my need from by faith. You're here to be worshipped for who you are. Can you say amen? Remember the service we had recently? It was last week before, about the meeting place, the tent of meeting. Israel's on their way to the promised land, and they're anxious to get there because get into that place where the milk and honey flows, where they're going to be so wonderfully blessed, was number one. Number one on their list. But Moses says, you know, we got to know this God. They saw his miracles, the scripture said, but Moses knew his ways. So Moses set up a tent apart from the regular community. This was before the tabernacle. He just set up a tent out there. And he said, this is going to be a meeting place where God's going to come. And he went out to that tent of meeting, called it a tabernacle in the Old Testament. It was a tent. And it's called the tent of meeting in virtually every translation other than the King James. And he went out to the tent of meeting, and they watched as this kind of a pillar, not the fire nor the cloud, but kind of a combination of cloud and swirling. And it came, this whirlwind, foggy cloud, and stood. When Moses entered that tent, stood at the entrance to the tent, God and man meeting together. He sanctified a place. He revered the presence of God. And God came to the tent of meeting. And everyone in that whole community, when they saw Moses going out, they came and they stood at the door of their tents and they watched this because they saw literally what is happening. God is coming to meet with a man. What courage that must have given them. Can you say, man? What would happen if church became more than sitting in a pew, listening to a preacher preach, and going along with the program? What would happen if we had an encounter with the living God like Isaiah did? And we bowed and confessed our sins and maybe got up with a call on our life. I know everyone's going to be called to be more like Christ. You'll get some kind of call if you get in that place of surrender. And God, the people have done wrong, and God is saying, you know, in a sense, an angel can take them on in. I'm a God of covenant. I'll keep my promise, but I'm not going. And Moses said, if you're not going, we're not going at all. We're not going without your presence. In other words, get into that place without your presence. That place is going to be empty. That place is going to be unguarded. That place is going to be unrewarding. That's why so many people are trying to get what the world is after to satisfy them without first achieving that presence of God that would satisfy them where they are with what they've got. Godliness with contentment is what? The true riches then. Great gain. Amen. How many's belly got something in it this morning? I mean, if you're not fasting, how many got something in your belly? I have discovered Mary B's biscuits. You should discover them. It's a revelation. They're this big. They're like grandma used to make. And you can cook them in your oven in 20 minutes. And they get that tall. And you don't have to do anything to them. You can get them at Walmart. Mary B's. You remember that. Just stick them in. 375, 20 minutes. Watch them rise. I haven't eaten this morning, so this is getting to me. I had a fleshly flashback. Amen. We watch it all through the week, but Monday, amen, is gravy and biscuit morning. Amen. McCormick makes some gravy. I didn't know they made such good gravy. I am not the cook. I'm the barbecue man outside. Amen. I don't know how to do it. But man, Mary B's biscuits, McCormick's gravy, I can do it. Amen. I mean, the flesh is always after what the flesh likes. That's what my flesh likes. Listen. They wanted to get to Canaan. They didn't care if God's presence, like was meeting with Moses, or if he sent an angel led them. But Moses cared. He said, that place is going to be empty without you. Amen. Everything is in you. It's not in Canaan. It's in our God. Amen. It's in our God. Without you, we're not going. If you don't go and you send an angel to take us, it will be incomplete and insufficient. We're not budging without you. We're not budging without your presence. How many know that an angel could have guarded them and led them through, but Moses said, we're not going without you. They would have went without him, but Moses would not. Two classes of people, one preacher said recently, that go to church on Sunday. Those that go to worship God for who He is, and those that go to seek God for what He can do for them. I'm going to give you a clue today. If you worship Him for who He is, He's going to do everything you need done in your life. Hallelujah. And you'll have His presence and be fulfilled. Glory to God. This is not about status symbols competing with the world. It's about having something that transcends anything the world could ever achieve or acquire. The joy of the Lord. And that's about presence, not presence. Can you say amen? This is a concrete floor and I shook it till I heard the rain tree. Hallelujah. Let it rain. Chew it up. The church will ever bow again. We're going to see prayers answered. And those prayers are going to start primarily with souls getting saved. People getting set free. Jesus' name being exalted. The gospel going into all the world. We're going to pray the heart of God. Can you say amen? You say, well, what about my kids and my needs? Let me tell you something. When you pray those kind of prayers, God is not going to overlook your needs. God is not going to forget your children. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 When you say thy kingdom come and you put it as a priority and you seek first the what? The rule and domain of a king or his perfect will, his sovereign purpose. Amen. All these things shall be what? Added unto you. Now for the sake of this tape, our people know it by heart, but in the scenario for the 18th time, because I've been with you for 30 years, I get to tell at least once a year. Because it's so appropriate. The angels in heaven on Monday morning are standing in the presence of God. Monday morning, the sounds are different. There's not this cacophony of praise like there is from the great choirs on Sunday and great cathedrals. Monday, it's back to normal for most people. But there's a man on his way to work, and he's just praising God. Lord, I love you. Lord, I praise you. Lord, I appreciate you. I love you. I just thank you for all you've done for me. You've been so good. I don't want to start the day without just giving you praise and honor and stopping to thank you for the privilege of knowing you, for salvation, for sin. And just it's going on and on and on. The angels are reporting to God. They're in His presence in this story. And God is looking over the ramparts of heaven. And He sees that guy. He's hearing all of this. And he looks and he says, who's he belong to? Big grinning angel. He said, he's mine. I've been given charge over him. He steps forward. He said, tell me, angel, what does he want? In other words, what's he really after? He says, Lord, he don't want anything. He just wants to thank you for all you've done for him, to give you praise and to give you honor. That's just the kind of guy he is. He loves you. The Lord says, well, tell me, angel, what does he need? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Israel had been totally content to get to the place of blessing. Moses says, if you don't go, we ain't budging. For without you, it's as empty as it is in the world without you. If Christ can't fulfill you here and now by the Holy Spirit, that six-bedroom home with 5.5 baths is not going to solve your problem. Are you hearing me? If God can't fulfill you now with Christ in your present condition with sufficient grace and His love embracing you, That Escalade is not going to do it for you. But the six-disc changer and the Bose sound system and the satellite tracking system, it won't do it. It didn't do it for the world. How do you think it's going to do it for you? Church can't just be a place where you learn how to get stuff from God, but where you learn to come into His presence. For in His presence, there's fullness of joy. And where there's fullness of joy, there's no emptiness in life. I came to give you life and that more abundantly. Hallelujah. And a man's life, Christ said, doesn't consist in the abundance of things he possesses. He wanted to make it very clear. It's not the stuff that's going to make you happy. It's Him. And Him alone. Oh, by the way, you get happy with Him, you can lighten up on other people. You don't have to always be hugging on me and building me up, although I love it. And I need it sometimes. But if I get it from Him, I can be more giving to you instead of demanding more from you. It works in a marriage. I can be more giving to my wife instead of demanding more from her. Oh, but here's the good news. When I'm more giving to her, guess what? Same measure of spiritual law. The same measure you meet with thou shall be what? Meted to you again. So I get what I'm not after. So here we're getting ready to start preaching on faith. Three indispensable characteristics of active faith. I guess to say that we did touch on the outline, I'll tell you what they are. Biblical faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Amen? But it all begins with bowing in the presence of God. That's where Jesus, faith, life began. Bowed. Thy kingdom come. That's how He taught us to pray. Thy kingdom come in earth and in me as it is in heaven. That's where it starts. Would you bow your head just for a moment today? The word is in fact true. God in fact honors faith when faith is according to His will. God does not honor manipulative people wanting to live in a perfect world that their faith has manipulated every circumstance to their own convenience. That's not how we grow. That's not how we walk with Him or demonstrate trust in Him. Will He come through? You bet He will. Will He answer? Yes, He will. I challenge you this morning to start bowing before Him. And believe Him for His will to be done. And surrender. And if necessary, repent. Embrace repentance. Don't run from it. And let God be God again. And let Him fulfill you. And take you where He wants you to be. I went through 10 years of nervous exhaustion. I never missed a service. I preached for 31 years. And never missed a Sunday except for vacation. God has been good to me. But after I got through preaching and that anointing lifted, I had to live with what stress had wrought in my life. And part of that stress, a big contributor, was the fact that I believed that if I said it, if I stood it, if I claimed it, if I did all these things I was told to do, everything would be fine. And when it didn't work that way, that stress of failure, that stress of why doesn't God answer me, that push and that pressure intensified my own condition. And God could have healed me instantly, but He took me on a journey to know Him. not just to get what I need from Him, but to come to know Him. And I'm not preaching a simplistic faith message today and giving you biblical formulas to get what you want. I'm telling you there's a God that rules over heaven and earth. He's the God of Joseph. That even if it's meant for evil, and He means it for good, He can use everything, and I mean everything. And still be God, and you can still be in His will. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the God of Job is faithful. And in the end, He gave him double everything that was put on the line to prove a point. Everyone on this planet don't just serve Him for what they can get. And He proved that point with His servant Job. A man He lifted up above all men on the planet in His day. Hallelujah. And I just hate to hear some evangelist put Him down. Can you say amen? I love Paul. I heard a guy that on television not too long ago say that different strokes for different folks. He could have used his faith not to go through what he went through. And I thought, where does that man get off talking about one of the 12 apostles that the faith is built on? Honey, the faith is not built on the new kids on the block. It's built on these people that sealed their testimony with their life's blood, that bowed before this God. Was that grace sufficient for Paul? Was he in the will of God? Yes, he was, my brother and my sister. Beaten with rods 5 times. Beaten, rather, with the cat of nine tails 5 times. Beaten with rods 3 times. He said, I was shipwrecked, fell among thieves, but these light afflictions, which are but for a moment, worketh for us a greater eternal weight in glory. Thy grace is sufficient for me, and thy strength is perfected in weakness. Therefore, I'll take pleasure in any trial I go through that brings glory to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm talking about real faith from real people in a real God. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, since you haven't been to third heaven and saw things you cannot utter, chances are you will not have to be kept humble through trials like Paul were, that intense. And thank God for it. I believe we need to bow anew and afresh. I believe Christian young people need to sell out to Jesus. Not just go to church, but sell out to Jesus. If my people return to me and bow with their faces to the ground and humble themselves before me, I will grace them with my presence. I will let my glory come and shine forth, saith God. I will save again, heal again, deliver again, set free again. For I am the Lord, and above me there is no other. If my people return to me, I will return to them, saith the Lord. Somebody give Him praise today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will you stand to your feet? Brother, would you cue that up? Hallelujah. I believe a revival is coming that is going to sweep the world, and it's begun. In China right now, the persecution is heavy. One of the leaders of the political parties in China said, of the church that's come alive, there's a great revival behind this bamboo curtain of communism and Marxism. You know what they said in China? One of the leaders in China said, we must kill the babe while it's still in the manger, talking of the Christian faith. Well, it's too late to kill the babe. Amen. Because the babe is not a babe, and the babe is not in a manger anymore. He is now King of Kings, and He is Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Young people, in China or not being led by young pop singers with little or no testimony. Not by the Hollywood crowd or the Nashville crowd. Do you hear me? Young people in China. There was an Assembly of God preacher down in near Punta Gorda or rather Fort Lauderdale in a large Assembly of God who visited China to see the revival. And I'm talking about a revival of souls and people selling out to Jesus in China. A mighty revival where 20,000 people a day are said to be coming to Christ every single day in the nation of China. He said, I wanted to see the leaders of the underground church, people that had been put in prison, people that had been made to drink their own urine for the sake of the gospel to humiliate them and degrade them, people who had their lives threatened. And he said, I wanted to meet them. And he said, I was expecting these people that had heard Watchman Nee's books or heard of these great missionaries of old, but that's not what I saw. Most of them were 18, 19, and 20 years old that were absolutely sold out to follow Jesus Christ, to lay down their life if necessary to serve this great and this good God. We need that kind of commitment in the Church of Jesus in America, where people love their God and it goes into their private life and their public life. Revival in South America, the new born-again rate has transcended the birth rate. The mighty revival in Russia is still a mighty move of God. You can give out scriptures in Red Square, in the University of Moscow, but you can't at the University of South Florida. What God is doing in the nations is absolutely fantastic. But there's a deep reverence in those meetings. They're marked by a deep reverence. There's no circus atmosphere when the name of the Lord is being exalted. Souls are coming to me and lives are being changed in China this day, saith the Lord. For people are bowing before me in deep reverence, and my glory is coming. Where my name is exalted, my glory is coming. My glory is coming. And where my glory comes, saith the Lord, people run to come to know me. Chains of darkness are broken, and yea, lives are transformed, and people are sealed for eternity. And yea, saith God, I desire to do the same in thine own nation. I desire once again to visit America. I desire once again to save and to seal and to sanctify and to transform and to set free. Reverence me and exalt my name. Return to me and I will return to you, saith the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you bow your heads very quickly? I'm going to ask, as this song is playing, is there anyone in here that feels that we can come back to a state in our Christian life where we're more bowed before Him? Is there any room in our lives to bow more? I came to the place, I said, Lord, I'm going to bow. I'm going to bow. I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand a prolonging of an answer. I don't understand why you didn't just take care of this thing and send me preaching. I don't know if my faith has failed. I don't know even whether your faithfulness is like they said anymore. I don't know what to believe. But Lord, I can't make it if I don't trust that you're my God. So I'm going to bow. I'm just going to bow and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I was sitting in a church service. My heart started palpitating. My breath cut off. And Satan said, you're going to die right here. And I said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And Satan found out there is a God in Israel. There is a sovereign ruler of this universe. And even in my weakness, he wasn't allowed to do what he thought he could have done. Hallelujah. When you pray, "My will be done," you'll say to the mountain, "Be thou removed," and you will have no doubt in your heart that it will obey you. "For you prayed in my will, saith God, and the mountain is in the way of my will. And whatever mountain is in the way of my will, I'll act on by my spirit, saith the Lord. And the mountain that stands before you shall become as a plain, not by might nor power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." Hallelujah. That kind of faith can only come after your first bow. So get ready for your mountains to move. As you bow before me, watch what happens, saith God. I'm the God of all flesh. How many people right now in this room need the Lord to just show himself strong in your behalf right now? Something you're facing, something you're going through. You need him to show himself strong. Amen. Something only God can do. And this morning you've taken a new approach to his presence. You're hallowing his name. You're bowing before him. You're blessing him before anything else right now. Hallelujah. I want you to know everything that's in accordance with his will is going to begin to come to pass. God's going to move the mountain. You're going to have the confidence to tell it to move because you're going to know you're surrendered. You're going to discover his will. Hallelujah. Watch and see. Look and behold what the Lord is doing. See it with thine eyes. What you have believed for in your heart, you will see with your own eyes. For I, the Lord, will bring it to pass as I have promised, saith God. And when you see it with your own eyes, it will not be then that you rejoice, but you will rejoice when you know in your heart that it is yours. You will rejoice even this day, saith God. Somebody give him praise in this place. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Yeah, just let it come in the background as we close. Hallelujah. Boy, it's hard to close these services. God's doing so much in so many lives. I feel him working in my own family. I got a dad with prostate cancer. 7 months have went by. It's inoperable. It's in its latter stages. And what I prayed, I said, "Lord, let there be no symptoms in his body. Just stymie it right where it is." And there's not a symptom of anything wrong in my dad except age. He cares for my 102-year-old grandmother. What a lady. Be 103 in July. But I got a 103-year-old grandmama that needs help. I got an 86-year-old, 85-year-old dad that needs help. I got a mother with a pacemaker and a father-in-law with a major heart attack. Mother-in-law with some physical problems. I got a church with needs. And I have needs. And yet there's a God with such grace, tenderness, and mercy. And I can tell you about him. I got a little girl in heaven. I wish I could have kept her. But I saw her not as others who have no hope.